Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 through 35, and the title of our message today is The Exalted Nation. Let's hear the Word of God. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. A large population is a king's glory, but without subjects, a prince is ruined. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous have a refuge. Wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools, she lets herself be known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wrath. Word of God. Let us pray. God, our Father, thank you for the insight and wisdom of your word that comes from your divine wisdom, and pray that you might increase our understanding of your ways and your will, that we might trust you more and serve you with all our hearts. Bless the ministry of your word today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we move into another Memorial Day, once again, it is an opportunity for us to remember those that have given their lives and sacrificed for the freedom that we so much hold dear in our nation. And it seems that this text, Proverbs 14:34, is appropriate for a day and weekend such as this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And as we think about history, our own country and the nations of the world, certainly testifies to the accuracy of this verse. What Solomon is saying here is that righteousness is exalted. As righteousness is exalted, our nation will be exalted. First of all, we want to consider the excellence of righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. And all of us are blessed. All of us are the recipients or the reality of this truth, of this principle, the blessings that we continue to enjoy year after year as citizens of the great nation, the United States of America. I don't need to recount that to you. You know full well what those blessings entail. Most of all, it's the freedom we have to work and to worship. And freedom from fear, we can continue to praise God for that freedom. We all continue to be reminded of the many blessings and freedoms because of this righteousness that Solomon is talking about, and that nations around us continue to strive for and look for and long for. We think about what has happened in Eastern Europe more than a past decade, what they have longed for, freedom and prosperity that they have gained. They look to our country and the blessings that we enjoy, and they want what we have. But at the same time, we think of so many, even fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are suffering, that are oppressed, even with all the changes coming about in our world. There are more Christians that have been persecuted for their faith in this century, in the 20th century, than in the past 19 centuries combined. And yet, our country continues to enjoy these blessings of freedom that flows from this principle that righteousness exalts a nation. And that's what God wants to do. God's desire is to bless the righteous. And He blesses us in so many ways. He wants to bless the righteous with prosperity. He wants to bless the righteous with freedom. All those things are the good fruits that we enjoy, that the righteous enjoy. And Solomon has loads of insight to that in his Proverbs. He says in 25:5, a king's throne will be established through righteousness. And so as we look at this verse, our text today, we see that the Lord's desire to bless us is not only to bless us as a nation, but to bless us as individuals as well. And even if he doesn't, Solomon assures us better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. And so not only is our nation living proof of this principle of Proverbs 14:34, but as we think of Solomon and the nation of Israel, they could also testify to the way the Lord worked, the way the Lord blessed them on the same basis. And not only through Solomon, but going back to his father, King David. David, who was described as a man after God's own heart. And then you look at the life of Solomon, the reign of Solomon. And he began that reign with that same desire. Not to seek for material blessing, not to seek for power, but to seek the wisdom of God himself. And to know God's will for himself and for his kingdom. And so, the reign of Solomon, preceded by the reign of his father, was known as the golden age in Israel's history. About 100 years of prosperity and blessing. The borders of Israel were extended as far as they would ever get. And so Solomon himself knew the meaning of this verse, that righteousness exalts a nation. And yet you begin to examine the life of David, you begin to examine the life of Solomon, and you really begin to wonder how this can be. Because just as Solomon knew so well that righteousness exalts a nation, at the same time he could also say that sin is a disgrace to any people, beginning with himself. Because you look at toward the close of his 50-year reign in Israel's golden age, was tarnished by Solomon himself and by his life. You can read the number of wives that he had that led him away from the Lord and led him to set up idols and lead Israel away from serving and committing themselves to the Lord. And as a result, the broad borders of Israel's nation was slowly taken away. They became weaker. Until finally, Solomon is gone and the nation is divided. You have northern Israel, you have southern Israel, you have Jeroboam, you have Rehoboam, and that divided monarchy would continue to the end of Israel's history in the Old Testament. And so Solomon, as well as David, as well as the people of God, knew firsthand that sin is a disgrace to any people. And as we think of our own country and all the blessings that we enjoy, we have to say that we know what this means as well, don't we? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, we had the opportunity this past week to take a little trip up to New York City, bus trip with some young people, and it was a real joy to be able to go up there and center of Manhattan and see some of the sights and feel secure and enjoy traveling around and looking at the city with all the people and all the different things to see. And we had the opportunity to go up on the Empire State Building. And as we were up there, we're reminded, you know, how long, it wasn't that long ago that we had been up on the World Trade Center, and now that's no longer there. Reminded of what our country has been through, and yet how quickly we forget. You can go to certain parts of New York City, and it's fine place to travel around, but then there are other parts that you would have a little wisdom before you even think about going to that part of town. So, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. It was appropriate as we were approaching Memorial Day weekend, while we were up there on the Empire State Building, it's Fleet Week in New York City. And so while we were standing up there looking west over the Hudson, the naval ships were traveling up one by one in the sequence right up the river. And as we watched those ships proceed up the Hudson River, three naval jets flew over. We barely saw them because they were a kind of a grayish color, and just you couldn't hear them, of course, and just flew right by. And there they are, followed by a flotilla of the fireboats spraying. And so it was quite a majestic demonstration of power and of the security and of the protection that the Lord has blessed our nation in providing. So, on the one hand, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. How easily we forget. And so, Solomon's father David in Psalm 11:3 puts it this way: when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We could name example after example of how we see this happening in our own nation today, and even within our own state. Now, our state is gaining notoriety, isn't it, for being the first state east of the Mississippi to endorse sports gambling. Even the NFL is opposed to it, and I understand they may try to take it to the Supreme Court. And also, our state is soon going to join other states in the Northeast in redefining marriage. And so, recently I read on Chuck Colson's great point that not only are same-sex marriages in vogue, but now people are striving for triad relationships and to have them normalized and recognized, three partners in a relationship as a normal, recognized marriage relationship. So we wonder with David, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so, just like Solomon, it doesn't take much to remind us that sin is a disgrace to any people. How can we restore our nation to what it was? To see our nation exalted again before God and the world. Well, it's this principle that must guide us, isn't it? In order for righteousness to exalt a nation must exalt righteousness. And so our nation will experience the exalted blessing of righteousness as we seek to exalt righteousness in our lives. And this word nation that Solomon uses here, it's not just talking about the nation of Israel or one particular nation. In fact, it's not one word, but two. And the word nation in Hebrew doesn't just describe one group of people, but people on a variety of levels in a variety of relationships. It's not only a nation, but he has in mind the individuals as well as the community and country that can be included under this word nation that he uses here. One Old Testament commentator has this insight about what Solomon is getting at. A nation's true greatness is that in its private, public, and international life, righteousness rules and prevails. A nation's true greatness is in all that all levels, righteousness rules and prevails. And so that means that in order for this to be true, in order for Solomon's insight to be a reality in the life of our nation, it has to begin with you and with me, doesn't it? In order for our nation to exalt righteousness, you must exalt righteousness. Now, I try to attend a monthly ministerium, and this was the last one for the season, so we spent time in prayer. And one of the main themes that we were praying for, or one of the ministers was praying for, was for revival. Revival in the churches. Revival in our nation. But if you think of the history of revival, wherever it occurs, when true revival comes about, it always begins with the people of God. It always begins with one or two people crying out to God and getting convicted about their own lives and their own relationship and their own walk with the Lord. And then it flourishes, and then it flows out to the nation. Here we were in the Newark area praying for revival just down the hill. White Clay Creek Presbyterian Church, where George Whitfield himself had preached. And the story is that they didn't have telephone, they didn't have email, they didn't have Twitter or any of that. And yet, the crowds kept coming. There were so many people coming that the dust, all you could see was the dust from their attempt to get there and arrive and be part, to hear Whitfield preach. No microphone, and yet the whole audience could hear him as they hungered to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And in order for that to happen, it has to begin with us, doesn't it? And as we look at our lives, what do we see? We're honest with ourselves. We know that we're far from the righteousness that we expect, let alone what God expects. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none who understands. So it's good to remind ourselves that on this Memorial Day weekend, one of the dates we remember is June 7th, 1944, isn't it? June 7th, 1944, D-Day. When that attack occurred, and the beachheads of Normandy were stormed. From that moment on, the outcome of World War II was determined, wasn't it? It would just be a matter of time. And yet it would take how much longer for the whole continent of Europe to be conquered? To be conquered village by village and country by country. The same is true of your Christian life and of mine. Here's the difference between justification and sanctification. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ right now, the battle has been won. That's justification. But at the same time, there still remains a battle to be fought. A battle not against reigning sin, but a battle against remaining sin. That's sanctification. That's the work of God's Spirit He's doing in you and me right now. And the question is, how are you doing in this battle? Are you dying more and more to sin and living more and more unto righteousness? As we think about our country, on this holiday, we're all concerned about the direction our country is going. But the battle begins right here in your heart and in mine. Are you seeking to exalt righteousness in your life? This is what our Lord calls us to, isn't it? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again except to be thrown out and trampled by men? So this is a lifetime calling, isn't it? The pursuit of righteousness. It's central to what it means to be a Christian, to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As every day we seek to deny ourselves and do battle to put off the old lifestyle and to put on the new. Only then can we begin to hope that God will use us to have influence on people around us. How can we do that? How can we be the salt of the earth, at least to our nation? How can we exalt righteousness in our community and our country in everything we do? The way we live, the desire for personal holiness in our own lives, pursuing it every day in such a way that not we're calling attention to ourselves, but that people can see a difference in the way we live, the way we relate, the way we work, the attitude we express. Maybe it can be through our public stance, But isn't it primarily by the life of righteousness that we seek to live before the Lord and before one another? And as we do that, not only are we to pursue it, but we're to pray for it, aren't we? We're to pray for our nation, that it, our nation would exalt righteousness. And this is the primary request that Paul makes. I urge that, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What a prayer request. Not just pray for our country, not just pray for its freedom and prosperity, but there's a purpose for it. Because God's desire is that all men might come to be saved and to come to trust in Jesus Christ through us, who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and through our lives. So the Lord calls us to pursue righteousness. The Lord calls us to pray for righteousness. And as we seek to do that, we have His promise that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so that brings us back to our original question on this Memorial Day weekend. What are you like? Are you a righteous person? As I look at my life, that's a tall order. I fall way short of that calling. Am I seeking to exalt righteousness in my life? Well, that's the question, isn't it? There's a difference between seeking to exalt righteousness and morality and a certain standard of living and what Solomon is calling us to here today. Because if you are seeking to exalt righteousness from Solomon's perspective, that means ultimately that you are seeking to exalt the righteous one, Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. And you do that, first of all, by trusting Him, right? By putting your life in His hands, by turning away from relying on yourself and your own righteousness and relying on His alone. That's the only way any of us who fall short can stand, ever have any hope of standing before a righteous God. And then, as you have that confidence, then it'll be seen in the way you live, in your pursuit of righteousness in your life. As you realize, wonder of wonders, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So do we desire to see our nation exalted? Well, are we pursuing and desiring to see righteousness exalted? Well, then exalt Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has become our righteousness and holiness and redemption. And the promise that the Lord has for us is not only for ourselves and for our nation, but it's for the nations of the world, isn't it? Because as we exalt Jesus Christ, we have this promise. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is our righteousness, that it's through Him that we can exalt You by the way we live. Lord, as we look at ourselves, we know we fall short of Your call upon us. We pray that by Your power and grace, You would enable us to live in a way that brings honor to Your name and calls attention and exalts our Savior, that others would be drawn to Him as well. We ask these things with the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name. Let's sing together hymn number 713. Great King of Nations, hear our prayer. 713.